Okay.
Good afternoon, everyone. How's everybody doing today?
Just fine.
Perfect. Anyone else on the call? I see a few people on the call. Are you
I'm
guys ready to
good.
talk? Oh, nice. All right, happy Monday, everyone. We're just continuing. This is our ASAP, Advanced Success Accountability Partnership. These calls are designed and developed for Larry Goins Inner Circle students. So if you're not Inner Circle students, you would not have access to this. This is strictly for you. There is no sales pitch. I'm not here to sell you anything. Larry hired me to help you get your deals going quicker, get you to your successful outcomes quicker. He wants to brag through your success. As a good teacher, he takes pride in your progress. I specialize in human development. I specialize in why we do things the way that we do, like the brain, and kind of help you with as an investor rather than specific investing questions. We do these calls twice a month, first and third Monday at 12 noon Eastern. This is the second one of the month, second call of the month. Each month we kind of work on a theme, and this is all based on the feedback that we received from you. So the April was the month of strength. What we talked about 2 weeks ago, for those of you who are first-time callers, is we were talking about strength and how to develop your strength and play to them. Today we're going to take it a little bit deeper in how to apply those, how to plan your marketing and your day-to-day operations and your real estate game into, play to your strength. So we start each call with kind of sharing your successes. So who has some wins that happened in the past 2 weeks? Who wants to share with us that something or whatever that was a successful outcome, an action that you took, a win that you had, regardless of how big and how small it is? Let's get going. Let's talk about your wins. Who has something to share with us? Really? No one has a win? Come on. Are you listening badly?
This is Forrest.
Hey, Forrest.
Hey, Turk. So I had a gentleman call me out of the clear blue. He found me on the internet, and he had a lead that he couldn't do anything with, wanted to partner with me. He was in Texas, and he had a lead from Virginia. So we partnered up and got a deal done and found a wholesale buyer in 2 days. And that just by having my presence on the internet, it was a $5,000 wholesale for each of us. So it was a $10,000 deal.
Nice. That is great. So how hard was that? How much effort did that take?
It didn't take that much effort, but, it's like anything. You can't, if you're brand new, you can't do that, right? It's taken, 3 years for me to build my list and develop relationships, to where I can move that fast. But it was relatively easy at the 2 days was relatively easy. Yes.
Right. Very so you easy. Didn't have, if I heard you correctly, you really didn't do anything, but you were the rainmaker. So someone, you've done pre-work.
Right.
And
right.
then someone was like, hey, I have this tool that I can pull, and it was beneficial for the other person. Instead of 100% of nothing, it was
correct.
50% of 10 grand.
Correct.
That's excellent. Wow, that was very good. Good job. Very nice, Forrest.
Thank you.
All right, anyone else? Who took some actions last week or in last 2 weeks to get you closer to your goal?
Sure. This is Jeremy Greening. I'll add something. We recently relocated from the Nashville, Tennessee area to the Reno, Nevada area, and are basically at square one of having to build a new power team, research a new market, make new connections. The deals that we had done under Larry's program were all in the Middle Tennessee area. So last week, working with our coach Nathan, we started purchasing a list of motivated sellers in the area, and I did my first mail drop. I actually got a couple of phone calls from people. So far, not interested in selling, but retain our information for the future. So I'm going to follow up with them regardless and just see what their selling criteria would be, and also to see if they might have other people that they know who would be interested. And then we also attended our first real estate meetup in the area and was able to get contacts of, you know, investor-friendly title companies, wholesalers, starting to build a power team again. So, you know, I feel like we're starting from scratch in a totally new environment, but, you know, understanding the methodology through Larry and the right questions to ask, I feel like, you know, we're slowly moving down that road again.
Very nice, Jeremy. And one thing that, if I can add, you actually are not starting from scratch. You just kind of like a reset, but you have the knowledge and experience that you took with you. Sometimes what happens is when we move to new places, there's a form of a reset that happens. And so although you may not have the same lawyer, you may not have the same network, because you're actually taking your own mindset and the knowledge that you've taken from Tennessee with you to Reno, it's actually not from scratch. You will get the results much quicker, and your team will be built in a day or two rather than, you know, it may take 6 months to build a team in Tennessee, let's just say that, for to move forward. Or maybe it may take a year to develop a proper working team. But in that process, the experience that you've done and experience of meeting with these people and understanding their language and the questions and all that, so when you go to a new place, it's actually quicker. And furthermore, it's actually when you move from one location to the other, because you're not really bringing any of the baggage with you, it actually is much faster. But that's very good. Very good of you to actually take those two steps, especially meeting up with the investors. I mean, they're both good. And taking action on a mail drop and following up is the key. So better relationships that you build, and that's kind of what we're talking about on the strength and the personal connections of who you are and the personality that that makes you better, that machine will start working for you, and faster too. Well done.
Great, thank you. Great observation on moving from one region to another.
All right, who else? Let's get one more. Who took an action that they want to share with us? Is that it? All right. So we started talking 2 weeks ago about the strengths, and I think it was Forrest that, and there were two, three people have shared. But when I'm looking at my notes, what we were talking about is really discovering the things that comes to you naturally. So that's the key. Whenever I'm building a team, sometimes what happens when we're investors, well, this is true for culturally. There's a little bit of a cultural flaw that we have here, that we should be kind of struggling and doing it all by ourselves and be really gung-ho. And that's not really the most beneficial and the fastest way to grow. And as investors, what we bring to the table, what makes us a successful investors, is we get to actually create value, and we actually create teams, and we actually see a value on things where others don't see, right? Because it's normal for us to go to a property that is looks like crap, that would be scaring many people. And when you guys look at it, you go, oh, it looks like money. Or, you know, it's like I can certainly see the profits of it. And this is, of course, when you think about it, one of the reasons why hard money lenders are lending where banks don't, is because banks run on mathematical things, where a hard money lender is actually look at you as an investor, look at things, and they actually see things that the same way that you do. So you want to remember, we as investors are a little bit, compared to the rest of the world, are a little bit neurotic. They call us crazy. They call us sometimes stupid and, you know, things. But that's the our winning edge, is being able to see things that does not exist. And that's what makes a successful investor a successful investor, being able to see things. Now, as a general, as a whole, this, our society kind of encourages us to struggle and kind of work through it, and then somehow, as a result of that, the success comes. But that's not really true. I went to a seminar last week, and it was a really interesting thing that I learned. Give me one second. Let me close this. My dog's in the backyard. So think of it like an NFL game, right? Or any sports, but, you know, playoffs are on. Think of like an NFL stadium. And the court side is where those good seats are, right? And, of course, the players are playing in the court. And then expensive seats are by the court side. And then the general public, right? And then you have the press and those owner boxes, right? The season ticket holders, those. And then on top of all that, the team owner's box, right? Can you imagine that picture? Just think of it like a levels from players on the court all the way to where the owner's box is, the team owners. So think about this. Players, when you're sitting in the general area, most people want to sit where the floor seats are, right? Because that's where the movie stars are, that's where the rich people, that's where the rap stars are, musicians, and the TV crew is there. So you're kind of being in the game. The players are there. When you move up to the central where general public is, you know, you're kind of knowing people, you're screaming, you're a spectator, you're watching it, but you're not really part of the game. It doesn't feel like that you're part of the game. You're kind of a spectator watching and cheering. When you're on the higher level, when those skyboxes are, so now you're actually watching the game, plus you're watching the people, right? That's a little bit higher price point when you think about it, because now you have a controlled environment, you have food, you bring in whoever you want to bring. And then the top where the owner is, owner controls the whole thing. So even the players work for the owner. The people who are on the floor seats, they're actually paying the owner for the experience to be there. The owner doesn't play the game, right? Michael Jordan doesn't play basketball. I mean, he plays, but he doesn't play for the team. He has a coach. He hires the players. He has a finance guy. He has lawyers. He has scouts. And he has some idea, but he is actually the boss. He makes the stuff. He is the investor. So he benefits most from all the people. He benefits from the players, regardless of how much the basketball player is making, millions of dollars, right? Tens of millions of dollars. They still set their alarm clock. They still have to go play. They still have to play the game and shoot the hoops and score the game and be their best. So the owner can actually create value or actually profit from their hard work. People who are in the general, they want to sit on the floors. They want to sit on the floor seats. They want to pay a lot more money to benefit who? The owner, the investor. So when you as an investor start thinking in those terms, you want to remember owners, the team owners, the people who have the real investors, are only interested in one thing. They're not interested in ticket prices. They're not interested in the players individually, they're interested in winning. They're interested in creating value for the people who are paying for those seats. So that's why when they hire their players, when they hire the scouts to hire the players, when they have a team manager, when they have a coach, when they have a massage therapist, when they have a uniforms, all of that is actually supporting the players. And the players make the people to come to them. Those are your customers. But it is all an intricate machine. And the investor, that's you, are the one who controls the machine. You're the one who puts those pieces in place. That's why when we were talking about your strength and what comes to you naturally, what are the things that you want to do, you want to be able to concentrate on those things so you can create maximum value with your time and then bring in all the other players, all the other components of your team towards you. I like the stories. I like numbers. I like to look at buildings. I like to fix the walls. I like to go sell to people. I don't want to sell to people. I just want to sit and kind of think up a stuff, and I want other people to do it. There is no right or wrong way of how you are being. You just want to kind of be honest with yourself of the things that comes to you naturally. And really work on those things and developing those skills, because then it's not a hustle. Then it's not a pain in the ass. Then it's not really, oh, it's another stupid thing that I got to do. Then you're not really working your list of to-do things, but you're actually getting to do things that you want to do. Now, of course, and I mentioned this in the last time, the point of outsourcing the things that you don't like to do and the point of outsourcing the things that complement to your skill sets, the things that you want to do, is not for you to end up vegging out and doing nothing, but really develop your skills and only work on those things that come to you. And there are only two ways. Well, there may be multiple ways, but I know two ways that you can build a team. One, you can trade your knowledge. Two, you can trade your money. If you have money and you can hire somebody to do the work that you don't want to do, that's perfect. Now, if you don't have money to hire somebody to do the things that you don't want to do, then you want to trade your time and your ability. So for me, time and energy and knowledge are the same thing. It's intangible. That's something that you've actually exchanged. Money is tangible. Right? I pay somebody to do my website and they do it. Boom, that's done. If I don't have money, I have to trade something else for it. So because of these two resources, and they're kind of interchangeable, but because if you have the knowledge and understanding, if you have the network, if you have something that you can exchange rather than money, now that makes your growth exponential. Right? If I give you, you know, if I have a $10,000, if I give you $5,000 of it, so you took 50% of all my cash. If I can do the same connection with actually making some connections, making you connect with somebody else, that didn't take any cash from me. And so my growth, therefore, is exponential. So that's the playing to your strengths. That's to playing to, you know, whatever comes to you naturally, whatever comes to you strong, playing to those, that's what I mean by that. Knowing yourself and then really concentrating on the things that comes to you naturally. Now, one of the things that we talked about last time is how to bring that into your real estate game. And this is how it is. If you know your strength, I'm going to check one thing here. If you know your strength, and I'm just going to use Forrest because on my notes it says He likes to help people. We discovered last week that empathy and compassion are his strong suits. And everybody is muted right now. That's why he can't answer. But I will unmute everyone. So if that's my strength, what I'm going to do is I'm going to develop my branding. I'm going to develop my marketing. And I'm going to develop my team around those things. If I like helping people, my marketing is going to be targeting to the people who are looking for my help, that I can personally help. Versus if I'm an analytical guy, if I'm actually a person that likes to play the numbers and I really want to go to a distance, I like doing spreadsheets and things like that, then I'm going to play the game of marketing, meaning that now I want a lot of numbers coming to me so I can organize those things in that way. Like Norman, on the last call, he said he has over 600 ways to buying houses, and he sent me his homework, and we reduce it to 10 things. And all of these that he sent is really methodical. You know, he says, mail out on 30, 60, 90 days. Mail us for foreclosures, upcoming tax sales, divorce, probate. So I don't want to give all his game plan into what he sent to me. But so what he's working from a list, because last week what he was talking about is, if I have a list and I can follow it, because that's his strong suit, right? So now he's integrated that into his game plan. So only thing that he has to do is fire up his Excel sheet, he looks at the sheet and work it. For me as a person, that just like fries my brain. I'm not good at Excel. I can figure those things out. I'm more touchy-feely kind of a guy. I like to wing it. So to me, that will not work. For him, that's the ticket. So first and foremost, you want to figure out how you want to play your game day in, day out. Because you want to remember, it gets really tiring. It gets really boring. You kind of at one point get sick of hearing people telling you, you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it. So you want to be in a good space yourself that no matter what anybody tells you, it just bounces off you. Does that make sense? Let me unmute you and let's kind of do some one-on-ones with you guys. Stand by. So now you're all unmuted. Let's talk about your strengths and how to integrate marketing into it. Anybody has any question so far? All right, I take that as a no. Does anyone have a specific thing that they want to develop their marketing around their strength? I take that as a no. Was this?
Sure. I'll go if nobody else wants to go. This is Forrest.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, hi Forrest.
Hey. So you know, I thought a lot about you know what you said about last week. You know, just basically, like you said, marketing to your strengths, and you know, so I kind of you know have thought about you know, like it goes as simple as you know, like what's my tagline on LinkedIn, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've changed my tagline to where I'm a real estate solutions architect. So I don't know if that is, you know, as empathetic as maybe it might want to be, but that's kind of, you know, kind of playing to my strengths of problem solving. And then, you know, as you talked about, you know, with branding and so forth, to really kind of reach out. So a lot of my Craigslist ads, I've changed the headlines to being more of like a helpful, you know, let me help you out of your problem kind of thing.
Very nice. That's exactly the point. You got it. That's exactly right. And I like what you call. What did you change your tagline at?
Well, you know, originally, you know, I guess I'm like every other real estate, you know, want to be, you know, I said I'm a real estate investor, but that's really not what I'm doing. you know. So I changed it to Real Estate Solutions Architect, or, you know, I could also change it if I wanted to Solutions Provider, you know. So, but Real Estate Investor, I mean, everybody's a real estate investor, and I think that almost has a negative connotation. I think if you take what you're saying and you change it to, you know, separating yourself from the crowd, you know, you want to provide solutions for people and, you know, not just be an investor, because it sounds like, you know, when you say investor, it sounds like trying to make money off of somebody, right? You're trying to make money off the deal instead of just providing solutions. And then, like you said last week, the money comes, it's the deals that we're looking at or looking for. The money will come. What did you say? Work on the deals and the money will come, is what you said.
Yeah, money is the byproduct of you actually doing what you do. That's exactly right. So first example, I hope I'm actually motivating you guys to. It's not really a lip service, so we're not looking for some catchy zinger. I mean, you can do it that way, but the marketplace will eat you up for that. And so when you come up, and that's perfect. So when you're the solution provider, right, it changes your whole marketing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now
great example, Forrest. It also got me back to thinking when we did our original yard signs and Craigslist ads in Tennessee, you know, part of the motivation around offering owner financing was to really help people and help those people that were down on their luck but just couldn't qualify for traditional financing. And you know, we did the same type of thing, trying to weave that type of motivation into the copy that we put in our ads and into the scripts that I use when I would speak with people over the phone. And when they can tell that sincerity in your voice and they can tell that you are truly motivated to help them, they're that much more receptive. So yeah, you know, great job. And that was a great reminder of how we should be, you know, connecting a purpose to what we're doing in our business as well.
Thank you.
Yes. Is that Jeremy?
Yeah, that was Jeremy.
Yeah. So that's exactly right. So both of you are right on, both of you have your fingers right on it. So once you go, hey, I'm helping people, right? And there's nothing wrong with being an investor. There's nothing wrong. It's just like being who you are, your authentic self. And then what happens is, like what you were saying, lease option. You could just say, you know, lease option or owner finance. Or if you're doing the copy, if you're writing stuff, you know, are you down and out on your luck, or, you know, do you have a bad credit because of this? So what happens is you start creating your full presentation, your culture around that. Furthermore, when you're hiring people, you want to be able to hear them without you giving the feedback to them. So if I'm hiring somebody and say, oh, do you want to help people because I want to help people, what are they going to say? They're going to say yes. But I know where I am and I know who I am, so I want to create an interview question or a partnership question and all that where they actually answer it in the way that I want to answer it. I want them to answer it without me feeding it to them. So what we're coming into is building a culture around your strength. Because remember, you're the team owner, right? That your team represents you. You're the boss. So if you're creating a real estate empire, right, and you're like, okay, I want to help people, I want to help these kind of people, it really doesn't matter which part of the market that you're carving to yourself. You're just kind of building a niche. Right? So you take it even a deep further than just want to helping people. I mean, that's kind of a core of it. But you want to go, okay, I want to do probate, or I want to do this, and I want to do divorce. I want to do apartments. I want to do, you know, whatever it is that you want to do. And so now you bring that culture, that belief, that the thing that you want to bring in, you superimpose it in all your marketing. You superimpose it on your coloring. You superimpose it in how you carry yourself, and you work on that 30 seconds elevator speech based on that belief system that you have. So what happens is you no longer have to memorize stuff. you no longer have to look at a notebook to say what is the right thing for you to say, because it just comes flawless and it actually flows out of you. And then what happens, just like you're discovering, just like you're seeing, everybody else is just goes off. They don't go away. You're just speaking in a different language. And so the people who speak your language, the people that you like to work with, come to you, right? If only if you have a radio in your car and you put it on 101.7, you can't hear 94.8. It's all about frequency. It has to match. So it's the same thought process. You are the antenna. You decide where you are. So if you're going, I'm going to go help people in divorce settings, or I'm going to help people in, you know, probate settings. I'm going to help people find a home where they don't have, you know, they can't qualify, and really build your operation around that, and build your team around that, build your organization around that. Now you have yourself a proper niche where you don't have to worry about other people coming to your market. Now you don't have to worry about you going to another market. Now you don't have to worry about whatever happens in the market. You don't have to worry about if a big person comes to your market. Because what's going on is you speak the language, you put it out there, your net that you cast with each marketing piece only brings in the right fish for you. That's actually the fish that you're looking for. And fish, of course, we're talking about big ocean of market, and then the niche that you carve for yourself. Does that make sense? Say yes.
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 Yeah. That's what we're working on. That's exactly the point of playing to your what comes to you naturally. All right. Anyone else? Let's get one more example. Who wants to kind of customize their marketing based on their strength? Forrest is getting his money's worth. Anybody else want to get their money's worth? All right, Forrest, you're the spokesperson. Go for it. Let's work on a marketing for you.
Well, like I said, I have changed. So, you know, I run pretty much the same ads on Craigslist. And so every time it comes up for renewal, I change the ad title to be more helpful and solution oriented. And I try to put a pain and solution into each title of the Craigslist ad.
Who's your typical customer?
My typical customer is a motivated seller that most of my customers have been people that have moved out of the area and they have a vacant property that needs repair. That's most of my customers.
Why did they move out?
It's either a job or some major personal issue like a divorce or something like that.
How long they move out before it pops into your target? Do you know?
About 6 months. About
6 months.
Yeah. I would say between 6 months and a year. It's not that quick. I think they try to sell it first, you know, and then they realize they can't do it long distance.
Yeah. And what kind of a house do you buy?
The kind I can make money on.
Yeah, but is it $1 million home, $50,000 home?
No, I try to stay in $150,000 and less after repair value.
And
first
where
time
are
homeowner
you?
Type houses, Virginia, Central Virginia.
And where do people go from Virginia to?
One property I did in January, they went from Virginia Beach military area to Alaska military base.
Got
and
it.
Then one other property that I'm buying as a buy and hold is in South Central Virginia, Martinsville, Virginia. I don't know if you know where Danville or Martinsville is.
Let's go back to the military people.
She relocated to Chicago. Okay.
Let's go to the military people because they always move.
Yeah.
What kind of a connection do you have with the base relocation team?
I have none.
Right? So if you know that they're going to know, so we know that, you know, those are the people who are always in charge of the military because they get their orders ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have movers that military base move the people.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing you want to help, if since those are kind of your target market, one thing that you could do is you could develop a marketing letters around that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like you could come up with, you know, the things to do when you move an out list. Now, of course, if they're not, if they're on a military base, that really doesn't apply to you. You're looking for the people who are actually living offsite.
Right.
So then what you could do is you could actually develop some sort of marketing piece of paper that says, you know, remember, don't forget to turn off the water. You know, just like the stuff that you know before they leave.
Right, like a checklist, don't forget.
Yeah. Because you already know that they're going to try to sell it first.
Right?
So they're not going to call you. So when we look at the game as a realistic situation, they're going to call Ellen Page first.
Mm-hmm.
Or whoever. And then they move out. So if you have an option of, and since you catch them in 6 months, I wonder if there's a way for you to reach or, you know, do something that will be useful for them for 6 months. That's something that they want to always.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Now, so I'm writing down, find some value for them.
Valuable information. Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. For them to remember you with. Right.
Now, this is a far-fetched, but I'm just kind of, you know, just when I was thinking, and I'm trying to put myself in your shoes. And I go, what can I do? So I could actually, if there's a way for me to tell these people, hey, you know, I want to take, you know, I can take the picture of your house and email it to you. So if the grass needs to be cut, right? And so
yeah,
because
like
once you're out of town, you don't know what the realtor is doing. And realtor is really, they're only putting open houses and doing stuff. Just kind of remember me. I can be your eyes while you're away. Now, I don't know how you could create this, but if I was going out of town, so I want to put myself in my customer's shoes. Right?
Right.
And my customer is the guy who's going to move out of town, and they're going to spend, you know, they're going to try to sell the house for 6 months. And then after that 6 months, what's the realtor going to say? Lower the price or something, something. But at one point, realtor is still in Virginia, and now I'm in Alaska. I'm in Utah. I'm in New Mexico, and I get this house, I got to sell it. And it's true that you're catching them in Craigslist, but you can actually eliminate this somehow if you have some sort of a way to create value for them that doesn't take anything for you.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, something that comes to mind is, I know I had a realtor sell a house for me that I flipped down by another military base in South Richmond, and she said that there's a newsletter for the base, and, you know, it's in print and online, and maybe, you know, you can do advertising. She said if she didn't get it sold in 30 days, she would advertise in that paper. So
great,
yeah, I'm sure that all these bases have that kind of thing, probably.
Yeah, most military bases have it. If you have access to anybody, also people who are getting out, there's a transition assistance program. Any of those things that you can actually offer some sort of a support to them, and they'll be happy to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
whether it's a single sheet, you know what I mean? It's something like, you know, something that keeps him in front of it, in front of you, or, you know, keep you in front of them. And, of course,
yeah.
You want this to be, because it's your investment, you want to keep track of it, see what works. So it'll take a little bit to figure it out, but I think that's what I would do. I would write a whole bunch of different things. If you're doing Craigslist, I would for sure, one of my advertisements would be, you know, it would be strictly for military people.
Right.
You know what I mean? Are you, you know, are you in a new base and your house is in your old base? I can help.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's just worth the price of the call today.
Cool. All right. Who else? Anyone else? Want to cash in their chip? All right. Let's plan our next month. What would be helpful for you guys?
I am interested. I'm kind of at the point where I wrote down what I like doing, what I don't like doing, and then when I wrote down what I don't like doing, also put, like, what's the solution to what I don't like doing, whether it's a human being, what type of human being it would be, or whether I could replace it with a system.
Mm-hmm.
So you touched on something earlier about, you touched on something about two ways to acquire people to do the things you don't want to do, and that's,
yeah.
Trading knowledge or trading money.
Yep.
Can we focus on that?
Yeah. So creating networks?
Creating your team. Building
creating
your team.
A team. Yeah, building a team. That works. Anybody else want to second that? Anybody would like to learn about building a team?
I'll second it.
All right.
I'll
who
third.
Is this?
Yeah, I'll third it.
All good. Very good. Thanks, Forrest. Thanks for making.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about like somebody to put bandit signs out. I'm talking about somebody to compliment me. Like we're at the point where I really need an assistant, and I really need somebody that can compliment me and pick up the pieces that I don't like doing. But we tried this already. I've tried it with somebody, and it just didn't work. That person just didn't work out. I thought it would, but it just didn't. So
cool. So let's do this. I don't know who's on the call, but I was just in a big seminar in Boston. I went to a pretty big player. The basketball team owner analogy comes from this guy. His name is Johnny Profit on LinkedIn. He's actually a big-time investor, a business investor. And he gave me a personality test. Well, he gave our class a personality test. That's how many questions? It's like 18 questions. So let's do this. Send an email to ASAP@LarryGoins.com because I can't post it on our Facebook. That would not be right because you're here and other people are not. So if you send me a letter, ASAP@LarryGoins.com, I will send you a copy of that personality test. I will not tell you the results of it. So you have to fill it and send it back to me with the instructions. So when you finish, it'll have like an LA, it'll have a letter and number combination. And then you can send it to me. And then next week or next call, month of May, we're going to work on that. So that's going to help you discover your own personality and then how to work with others that complement that. How does that sound? Say good.
I'm cool. Thank you.
Where do you want us to email again? I missed that.
Yeah. ASAP@LarryGoins.com.
Okay.
Okay.
And then I'll send you a PDF. And then you just it's 18 questions. And the way that it is answered is this is for you. So don't try to impress me. Don't think what is the right answer. This is for you to kind of answer it how you, you know, how you see yourself or how others see you. Right? It's like either or questions, very quick, and then you'll come to the end of it. It's really good. I gave it to all my employees, and it was really helpful, really revealing about who I am, and it kind of tells us how we are under stress and how to work with other people that has different qualities than us. Cool?
Okay.
Perfect. Cool.
So ASAP.
Yeah, ASAP at LegoInc.com.
Okay.
Is there any login or passwords or anything? Just
in the attention line.
Well, that's just an email. Yep. No, that's fine. I see it. Forrest already sent it, and then I'll email you the PDF for you to kind of print out. So I won't see your answers. You're just going to reply back later on with, you know, your results, whatever it is.
Great.
Cool?
All right.
All right. Is there anything that you want to talk before we end today?
Is there any other homework besides the personality test?
There is never a homework, man. It's just kind of help you guys get your stuff. Now, if anybody wants to utilize the group for accountability and want to say, okay, I'm going to do this, and then share it with others, we'll keep you accountable. Anyone wants to commit to something? All right. Next call is going to be May 7th. That's Monday at 12 o'clock. Meanwhile, please shoot your emails to ASAP@LarryGoins.com. Again, you know, this is a service provided to you by Larry Goins. Because you're inner circle students, and he wants you to take action, right action, quickly, and be able to take, do your deals, and he wants to be sharing your success, because, you know, teachers like go-getter students. So that's his commitment to you, and my commitment to you is help you get to your goals as quickly as you can. Feel free to reach out to me at any time. I am pretty accessible. And then we're at your disposal, whatever is going to make your life easier. Please share the things that's helpful with Larry. Your feedback is greatly appreciated. We really shape these things based on the feedback that you give to us. So things that you like, please let him know. What are the things that you like? Things that suck, also please let him know so we can fix it. If there's nothing else, let's get off. Have a great day, everyone, and enjoy your week. Make it count.
How do we get a hold of you?
All right. So you can shoot me an email at ASAP@LarryGoins.com, or you can find me on social media, Turk, that's T-U-R-K, that's my name, at CheerfulVentures.com. CheerfulVentures, that's plural, .com.
Okay. Thank you.
My pleasure. And also, I monitor the Facebook page, too. Larry has for you, I think, on Facebook, Inner Circle. That's a really good resource, too, for you to be able to put your questions there.
Okay.
Cool. Jenny, I get your email, too. Or Jenny or Jeannie?
It's Jeannie.
Jeannie. Cool. Yep, I get your email. I'm looking at it right now. Cool deal.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a great day. I'm looking forward to meeting with you guys in a few weeks on the 7th of May, right after Cinco de Mayo. Yeah. All right, have a great day, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye.